Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Sources that relate to me that Giannis Antetokounmpo is not pleased with the Bucks' decision to buy out Damian Lillard for the remainder of his contract. And he just didn't like how it was handled. And so, you know, Giannis, this whole offseason, since this season ended, he's been, you know, weighing his options and trying to figure out what he is going to do, trying to navigate his future. And, you know, this is just one more thing added to the equation in which he's seeing that there are some, you know, suspect things happening or the way that they are happening. And so I was told that he is not pleased with what transpired with Damian Lillard.
Hour two, Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. Mego in for Keefe today. And a reminder, you can stream WEEI anytime on the Odyssey app as well as the iHeartRadio and TuneIn apps. Lots of ways to listen to Jones and Keefe each and every day here on WEEI. That was Chris Haynes. We mentioned that yesterday. Wide open Eastern Conference, it seems. I think that's damage control from Giannis and his camp to a friendly media member to let you know that he wasn't the guy stabbing Damian Lillard in the back on the way out the door. I can't imagine the Bucks, and I know what Chris Haynes said there, and it wouldn't be the first time I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong again. But I can't imagine the Bucks, knowing the situation they're in with Giannis, going, hey, we're going to waive Damian Lillard, we're going to bring in Miles Turner, and Giannis is going to know nothing about it. Like, I can't bring myself to believe that.
Especially because there hasn't been more that's come out. Like, if Giannis was really upset about this, if he was really left in the dark, wouldn't there be more than just one report out there? I know Chris Haynes is really close to Giannis and close to Dame Lillard, but wouldn't there be a little bit more? Like, if they did something where he was completely out of the loop and it was enough that he was, or when he was on the fence about asking for a trade, I just think that there would be a little something else there.
Yeah, and it ties in with the Celtics as well, because they have interest, they've shown interest, quote unquote, according to The Athletic, in Damian Lillard. I would be out on the signing. Who knows what he's going to have left in the tank, too. Like, I've said before, Tatum's not going to be the same player when he comes back from the Achilles injury. Now, that doesn't mean he'll be a bad player. That doesn't mean he can't play.
I don't really like hearing that from you.
Okay, but for a guy who was a perennial first-team All-NBA player, I bet he never makes first-team again. He was never a true MVP candidate. He'll never win an MVP. That doesn't mean he can't be All-NBA and make All-Star teams. He can do those things. But, and that's in a best-case scenario, by the way, I think. He's an approximation of the same player, but he'll never be the same player. Lillard may never be able to play again. Like, you look at some of the guys who had these Achilles injuries. DeMarcus Cousins was a big, and it fell off a cliff. I'm trying to remember some of the guards. We went through all these at the time.
Yeah.
Like, a guard in their 30s off an Achilles injury, they're probably cooked.
Well, wasn't Dominique All-NBA first-team again?
So he, no, I don't believe he ever made the same level post-injury. And he was gone in Atlanta and started bouncing around after that. And so, I mean, he eventually was here. Like, his career ended pretty quickly. He came back from the injury in less than a year and played at a high level, though. That's true. But no, I don't believe he ever achieved what he had pre-injury. I don't think. When we went through all these before. Yeah, if you could. So if Dominique is the one exception to the rule, then show it to me. But most players never were the same player again. But I would expect Tatum to come back. He's young enough.
He was All-NBA second team that year.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. Tatum might be, if
the
he was
the year after he came back from his, when the year he came back from his Achilles injury, he was All-NBA second team.
But this is what I'm telling you. If Tatum was a top five player.
It was like, also in the early 90s.
Durant's another great example. Like, Durant, I don't think has ever made a first team again after his Achilles injury. He's been second team. He's made a million All-Star teams. He's come back and largely been the same player, but he was an MVP candidate before. So if Tatum was a top five player, he's now going to be a top 10 or 15 player. That doesn't make him bad.
The huge outlier with Tatum is the age. And so it'll be, in a morbid way, it'll be interesting to see both him and Tyrese Halliburton. You'll get a little more idea of if this is something we're going to continue to see from more NBA players where they're having these bizarre Achilles tears in their mid-20s in truly their prime. Like, is it going to be a different situation for Achilles injuries?
We were talking about this off the air. The idea, and this was a couple of days ago, there was a study that was put out, was it the University of Delaware?
Yes.
About all the Achilles injuries that have popped up in the NBA. And basically, the way I read it, and correct me if I'm wrong, the way I read it was they've perfected a way to make athletes more explosive by working their upper legs, quads. But now you would hear this all the time. You don't want to, you can't just work out your biceps. You don't want to turn into a crab person. You need balance, right?
Right. Everything's connected to everything.
And so basically the lower legs, they're not working the same way that they're training their upper legs. You don't buy that?
As a Maryland person.
That was part of the study.
See, this is coming from Delaware. I don't know. It's like, if we knew that, could we have, has this study just been discovered? Could you have figured this out before the NBA playoffs?
Well, there wasn't a rash of these injuries.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering. Like, I would have to know a little bit about how long that study went on. If that's the reason, then it would be great to have one thing to point at and say the way that you're training these athletes is almost directly leading to these injuries. It just is hardly ever that way. I mean, they're still trying to figure out why some people tear their ACLs more than other people.
Tom in North Providence said it never happened to basketball players in the 80s and 90s. I mean, not technically true, but I agree. There's more present day than there were then. But Dominique would be an example of a player it happened to. They all wore high top sneakers. Today, they all wear tennis shoes.
To me, the easiest explanation is probably just the level of strenuous play that these guys have earlier in their careers. Like the amount of minutes from AAU on that they play.
Well, and Tatum and Halliburton played so much for Team USA. Oh, wait, they both sat the bench for Team USA.
Okay, but they both were they both had extreme minutes for prior seasons in the NBA.
Sure. A lot of guys play a lot of minutes in the NBA.
I don't know if anybody played as many minutes overall as Tatum when it comes to also an entire championship run.
Maybe not. I mean, I don't know.
I think in the past few years, Tatum has the most minutes total.
Yeah, Luka played a million minutes for Dallas on an NBA Finals run and then turned around and played. Yeah, actually played.
Luka's Achilles. Luka's Achilles is made out of hamburgers. So he's a different situation completely.
I was telling you, that's a guy who plays a lot of minutes.
He's got Big Macs in both ankles. And that's a good thing. I'm not saying that disparagingly. That's a nice thing for him.
Yeah, he works out his upper and lower legs equally. He does not work them out. Text line, 617-779-7937. Guys, would they have to take on the entire Lillard contract? No, they would not.
That's the point of taking it.
The Bucks waived him. They're stretching out that contract over 5 years. And so you still got to win a bidding war to get him. Like, if you're lined up against three other teams and you're offering the least amount of money, he probably won't take you. But you don't have to inherit the Bucks contract. No, that's not the case.
I think it would be nice, though, if they were like rehab buddies, Tatum and Lillard, and they were just like, you know, maybe they'd like start a YouTube series together or something.
That would be a good thing to do. Another text here. Guys, if the Celtics sneak into the seventh or eighth seed, is it possible Tatum will be ready to go late next year? Are you banking on a Tatum return?
I really don't like that idea at all. I'd rather just give him the entire year. I know, and you know me, I get into mama bear mode, and I think that he already seems, if you follow him on Twitter, like so frustrated by the process of how long this rehab is going to be anyway. He's going to be
He's never had to rehab anything, right?
I know, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, well, I think he's going to be chomping at the bit to come back.
I would say welcome
split
how most
up
other
the Jays. Yeah. and in a big way, it's going to be the responsibility of the Celtics organization to make sure that he's making the smartest move.
I would just say, I mean, to Tatum, I understand he's frustrated, but like, welcome to how the rest of the professional athletes live. Like, you've been very fortunate you haven't had to rehab anything at age 27 or whatever he is. Like, he's been exceptionally fortunate he hasn't had to do that, and that probably speaks to
is that responsibility?
Well, I definitely think it's a blend. I mean, there's some luck involved.
Not everybody is born with hamburger Achilles.
That's true. But like, okay, welcome to how everybody else has to live, Tatum, including a bunch of your teammates you've played with over the years. A lot of guys have to rehab injuries. So he has been fortunate in that way, but some of that is the shape he keeps him in and the training he does, et cetera. I'll acknowledge that. That segues into, and I'm with you, I would not rush Tatum back this year. It sounds like they're already punting on the year almost entirely. They're ready to dip below the luxury tax.
They won't even begin talking about timelines, and I think that's fine. Like, look, as much as anybody else, I would love the idea of Tatum coming back and leading them to back to the Eastern Conference Finals, and he looks mostly himself. Like, what a dream. I just don't really think that's reality. And when you look at the long term for a player who just started a Supermax deal, you just want him to get healthy, and however long that takes.
Yeah, I mean, I would not bring him back. If the team's playing well without him, I wouldn't bring him back for a playoff push anyways. Now, the 7th or 8th seed, maybe there's a more of a gray area in my mind where it's like, could Tatum really elevate the team? Let's say they're the 4th seed on pace for 50 wins without him. I wouldn't screw with it. I'd let Jaylen keep leading the team.
I'd say get on that Durant timeline. You take all your time. Take all the time.
Yeah, and what did he end up missing? I mean, it was like
Durant had the longest one.
Like 600
COVID.
Days, 700 days. Yeah, something like that.
So maybe not quite that long. I'm not wanting 2 years, but longer than, hey, let's get you back in April.
No, but an off season, a season, and then another off season, or you know, before he's actually playing in NBA games again, that would probably be the best way to get him back closest to what he was pre-injury, which, by the way, based on the track record with these guys, he's never going to be again.
You just stop saying that?
Well,
I don't like that.
Well, it's true.
You don't know. You don't know.
No, I don't. That's why I said based on the track record. Mm-hmm. Maybe he's the exception to the rule. But, like, even Durant, again, people champion Durant. And if he comes back the way Durant did, that's great. But Durant's never been the same guy. He's never been an MVP candidate, first-team All-NBA guy again. He hasn't. So he went from being, like, the best or second-best player in the league to still a top 10, 15 player in the league. Now more like a top 20 player in the league. I don't know where he'd rank. That's what I'm talking about with
Tatum. So if Tatum goes from being a top 3 to top 5 player to a top 10 player.
Yeah, it's still really good.
That's still remarkable.
But it's not the same.
Stop it. Stop saying that.
No, but acknowledge that that's true.
If he goes
from being the third player in the league to the 10th player.
Because I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen, okay. And I'm a little bit more optimistic than you. Maybe because I'm following on Instagram, and he's out there in the Auerbach Center like every day. He's meeting the young guys yesterday, dapping them up.
He should be.
And he's showing, you know, that he's working out the rest of his body.
I'm with you. I would not him.
People are going into a holiday weekend, and you're just like throwing water, cold water on everything.
In fairness, I did this right when the injury started.
It's horrible. That was your reaction?
Well, yeah, I looked at the Achilles. It's not an ACL. It's an Achilles. It has a horrible track record. The injury, it's a terrible, terrible injury.
It is a terrible injury. Yeah. Thanks for bringing all this back up.
Okay, but that's what we're talking. We're talking about Tatum. That's a big factor in talking about Tatum, no?
The comeback is going to be greater than the setback, okay?
Well, yeah, I'm not so sure about that. So looking at the East,
what is it about my presence here that brings out this side of you?
I was doing this with Keefe. It's not just that. The East feels wide open. You look around at what other teams have done. I guess I kind of like what the Bucks have done, assuming that the Giannis thing is a ruse. It's not just they've actually pissed off Giannis and now he's gone. Then they screwed up royally. But I kind of like what the Bucks have done. I don't know. Do you look at anybody else? I mean, Atlanta, I guess, has improved their team.
Yeah, I like the Hawks.
Okay. So
I think the Hawks have gotten significantly better.
Who else has reasonably gotten better? And who else?
Cavs.
Who else is to where? You think the Cavs got better?
You don't?
Not really. I mean, Darius Garland's going to miss time. They lost Ty Jerome. Who'd they bring in?
Where did Dorian Finney-Smith go?
Finney-Smith went to the Rockets, I thought.
Yeah, the Rockets are having the best one.
So they're having a great offseason. That's out West, though. Like, I'm not worried about the Western Conference teams, at least not right now. If they're in a position where they're worried about who they're facing in the NBA Finals, then they had themselves a great year. I'm focused on the East right now. I kind of like what the Bucks did. Orlando getting Desmond Bane is a good move, but I don't think that's like a game changer. Atlanta got a little better. I really don't think the rest of the East is appreciably better.
And Larry Nance Jr.
That was the big ticket move.
That's who I wanted the Celtics to bring on if they're not going to go for Mo Wagner, and I don't think they are, but they can't afford any of these guys right now with what they're trying to do.
So look, Philly should be better. Terp mentioned this to me after the show. Philly should be better. Embiid might be overrated. I like Tyrese Maxey. No one really likes Paul George, but Philly's going to be a way better team than they were a year ago, assuming anything approaching health. I do think that Milwaukee's better. Indiana's way worse. No Halliburton. They lost Miles Turner. They're going to be way worse than the Celtics.
New York still doesn't have a coach.
New York doesn't have a coach, but I think they're
You think they're the number one seed right now?
Them or Cleveland, I think, are the two safest teams
to
look at.
You said you didn't like Larry Nance Jr. to Cleveland.
No, I just said I didn't think they were better than a year ago, but they're probably still better than the Celtics. I'll give them that.
Overall,
they won
East,
64 games last year.
Overall, the East is certainly worse than it was the last 2 years, and not just because of where the Celtics are at.
So I still think the Celtics have a real shot to be in the mix in the East. And what that means is host a round to start the postseason, a top four seed. I still think they're right there in the mix for that. Now, if they keep peeling pieces off and they're below the luxury tax, I'll reset. If they don't have any solution in the front court, I'm still giving them the benefit of the doubt. They'll bring in somebody, not named Minot or Garza, in the front court. Let's see who that is. But you need someone representative in the front court. I still think they can be there. I know you feel differently, though.
I think that they're a little bit lower than that. I think being a four seed would be everything completely goes your way. Everybody stays healthy. Jaylen Brown plays close to his all-NBA season. And I think that's a lot to ask for what the way that they're setting this up. I also think, like, I mean, it's just going to be, you're going to be having players, at least the where you stand right now, that don't exactly fit into what Missoula's play style has been. And so I wonder what the adjustment's going to be there. If you look at, for example, if you sit here today and Namias Keita is your starting center, Namias Keita doesn't shoot threes.
Nope.
Like, he simply doesn't shoot threes.
Yeah, good.
And that's the cornerstone of Missoula's offense. So, well, does that mean that Missoula's offense changes around Namias Keita, or do you ask him to change his playing style?
Well, no. I mean, I would hope for neither of those things. Like, I wouldn't change the offense because of Namias Keita, and I wouldn't ask him to start launching threes.
Do you
threes.
Like Namias Keita?
If he's in your rotation, fine. He probably shouldn't be starting. He shouldn't be starting. So, but they need to adjust how they play, right? And if some of that is forced because Tatum's on the sideline, and that's not just launching threes, Mego, but I would look at ceasing to start the offense with Tatum. And you're not going to be able to do that this year. I wouldn't have Jaylen Brown initiate the offense. Now, who does that is a fair question. You know, do I do more of that with Derek White? Could Simons do that? If Simons isn't here and Pritchard's in the starting lineup, could he do that? One thing I liked about Indiana and their offense, and Tyrese Halliburton and players of that ilk aren't easy to find, but the way the ball moved, the back cutting, you know, and then that trickles down to cutting into just spacing the floor and launching threes. The whole offense shouldn't be Tatum trying to draw a double team and kicking to an open shooter. Like, you need more to your offense than that. And this year is a way to experiment with that. And so I wouldn't change the offense because Keita can't shoot threes. I changed the offense because it didn't work last year. Tatum's not here, and it's a good opportunity to try to do something different that clearly wasn't working come playoff time last year.
I also think it'll be interesting when you get into the regular season with this team, because this is a team that for stretches didn't even run plays on offense. You know, they'd kind of run a set here or there. I think it's just by necessity going to have to be really different because you don't have the level of playmakers out there with Tatum out and now Drew gone and Porzingis gone, where you can say, hey, let's just kind of freelance here and see what happens. So I think the offense is going to look really different. And if you hated the offense of the last 2 years, which was hyper-productive, then maybe that's a good thing for you as a watcher.
Text line, 617-779-7937. I trust Brad Stevens. They're the best Boston team, or the best bet for a Boston team to get back to the playoffs. Not worried about them compared to the other Boston professional teams. I don't know why we needed that qualifier.
So I
think we're about to find out how good of a GM Brad really is. I'm not saying he's a bad one, but he hasn't been told no much, right, on any of these moves. Now, Derek White was a highly creative deal, way better player than I thought. You know, his ability to bring in Drew Holiday and add him to a championship-caliber team and some of the manipulation they had with the luxury tax and the aprons, great. But he wasn't told no a lot, you know. Wick was writing dad checks that his dad was ultimately going to cash or couldn't cash to the point where they had to sell the team. He wasn't told no a lot. Now it feels like there's more restrictions. I think we're going to find out a little bit more about Brad Stevens, because if he figures out a way to make creative moves to keep this team competitive without Tatum, Porzingis, Holiday, well, he's going to deserve all the credit he gets. If not, we might start looking at him a little bit differently this season. Is that fair to say?
I think so, especially when you think about the kind of coach that Stevens was. Coming from college into the situation that he was in with the Celtics in a rebuild, Stevens thrived on those pre-Kyrie teams, like getting those teams to punch above their weight class. So I wonder if that's going to translate in any way to his position in the front office now, if it's going to be like he thrives on the challenge, because you can be a GM basically anywhere when you're saying we're going for the championship. We already have the pieces in place. We have the foundation set. We just need to tweak here and there. And I'm not saying it was like easy to make the decisions that he made, but it was easier than the position he's in now. So yeah, I do think that this is going to be a test for him, but maybe some of the character that we saw of him on the sidelines will translate to the front office.
Yeah. Again, I don't mean to say that he's a bad GM by any means, but if you think he's the best or second best GM, him and Sam Presti, do we look at him as more like a top 10 GM? Do we look at him and question that more coming out of the year? Because this is really the first time as an executive he's had limits and been told no. And I think we're going to find something out.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time for
Would You Rather Wednesday.
Would you rather Juan Soto or Would you rather have a pet monkey or a mini pig? Would you rather be a werewolf or a vampire?
On Jones and Keefe.
Would You Rather Wednesday on Jones and Keefe. It's brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork. You can visit Jackson Lumber and Millwork for all your residential, remodeling, or commercial building materials and supplies at Jackson Lumber and Millwork, providing solutions and delivering results since 1946. We have Mego in for Keefe again today. We got some Would You Rathers here. Mego, you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, Billy, what's first up?
All right, first up, would you rather keep Craig Breslow or Alex Cora?
Okay, so the Red Sox can only keep one. They keep Breslow. You're in charge, Mego. They keep Breslow or Cora. Who would you rather keep?
I'm going with Breslow. And not because I love or have so much confidence in Breslow, but I'm just curious at this point, would a team that would be headed up by somebody not Alex Cora would look like? Because we've seen the same team pretty much year after year after year, and we're at a point now where I don't think you can just look at ownership and say they don't spend anymore. Ownership is spending, and we're seeing the same mistakes.
Well, ish. I mean, they just dumped Devers' contract, but
okay,
I get what you mean.
Offseason.
In the offseason, they did.
In the offseason. Yeah. And it, look, Cora didn't even want to talk to Devers about the situation that it got to with first base, so I would go with Breslow.
I also would go with Breslow. I will allow for if Cora's going to start cheating like crazy again, then I am a little more interested.
He's dipping a toe in the water there.
If he's going to be doing that again, and we talked about this yesterday, then I'm a little more open to Alex Cora hanging around. No, to me, it's Breslow. Breslow, for all the hate he gets from the Red Sox fan base, and I feel like I'm back in the days of defending Dave Dombrowski. People at the end hated Dave Dombrowski and what he did to the farm system. They all have amnesia about it. Twitch chat's going to be like, no one hated Dombrowski Jones. Get ready for it, Bego. But at the end, people hated what Dombrowski did to the farm system. It was all so short-sighted. He signs all these big contracts. He trades for all these guys. He's decimated the farm system. So I defended Dombrowski then. I'll defend Breslow now because I like the moves.
We could look back and say we've won more games than we otherwise would have because of the way that this roster is now able to come together.
I'm not going to defend that, but I'll defend Breslow because I like the moves he's made largely. It's not perfect. The Walker Buehler signing stinks, but you know, getting Crochet, getting Bregman, getting Chapman, getting Narvaez, even the Giolito signing is looking better and better. I'll evaluate him on the track record. I think he's been pretty good. I never defended Bloom because I never liked any of the moves Bloom made. So to me, I would keep Breslow, and I would let a GM here. They should have done it with Bloom. They should do it with Breslow. I would let the GM actually hire his manager instead of ownership, overreaching. I shouldn't say overreaching. They do whatever they want. But, you know, not pairing together baseball ops and your manager, your field manager, I think that's been an issue and why things have been so out of whack and communication has been so poor. They're not, to use their word, aligned. And the reason they're not is because they don't let the GM hire the manager.
Yeah, it's logical in most places that the guy who does the hiring with everything else would hire the manager. I'm not as high on Breslow as you are. All the reasons that you stated, I don't sign off on all of them. I'm really just curious as to whether we're at a point now that the only common underlying factor of these teams being mediocre to bad year after year after year after year is ownership or Cora. And so you remove Cora, then you finally have an answer of there's right. the cheese stands alone.
Right.
When the cheese stands alone, you point to it and you say, it's cheese John Henry. You can't, there's no other fault, guys.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, look, if we could move on from ownership, I would do that, but they're not firing themselves.
Not when they're building all these mixed-use buildings all around Fenway Park.
So we both say Breslow. Okay, we're in agreement there. What else, Billy?
Would you have rather Brad Marchand return to the Bruins or Al Horford returns to the Celtics?
Okay, so you can change the Bruins offseason, Marchand, instead of the crappy moves they made yesterday, or Horford back on the C's. Answer that how you want. That puts the Celtics in the second apron. You got to peel pieces off, et cetera, et cetera. Which would you rather, Mego?
I think it's pretty obvious. I would go with Horford, even though he is 39, and this is probably going to be his last contract. And it doesn't really align with what they're looking at with Tatum's likely return in a whole year off. But, like, they don't have a starting center on the team right now. So at least with Horford, you have like 75% of a starting center. And then I don't know exactly who you're trotting out on the nights when he can't play the second half of a back-to-back. But it makes more sense if he was going to take a bit of a sweetheart deal and get $8 million or something like that. Then you could at least work with that for the next year or two. It's just unfortunate, the situation that the CBA and everything else puts them in right now.
So, look, I would be very interested if Horford came back. I'd have zero problem with it. I don't think it's going to happen. Marchand obviously did not happen. I'll go with Marchand on this one.
Yeah, because you love him.
Well, I did, and then, you know, there was sort of a point of no return. I'm a ride-or-die guy, Mego. And so when he turned on my guy, Keefe, I got to go against my other guy, Brad Marchand, which I guess actually doesn't make me a ride or die guy at the end of the day.
Yeah, I was going to say, which one?
I turned my back on
Marchand. Which one are you ride or die for?
My most convenient one. And so, no, but if Marchand came back, number one, it'd be way better than what they did. And number two, we could watch Keefe squirm a little bit because, you know, everybody would be like, oh, in your face, Keefe, you don't know anything. Even though he's been proven very, very much right on his Brad Marchand scoop. So I'll go with Marchand. Out of those, I can't defend what the Bruins did yesterday. I don't think they were ever really in on Brad Marchand, but if I could make it so, bring back Marchand. I would rather that. What else do we have, Bill?
Would you rather eat a hot dog or a hamburger?
Okay, so you only get one. You get one choice at the grill. What are you taking on the 4th of July, a hot dog or a hamburger, Mego?
Can I throw cheese on the hamburger?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Cheeseburger will be allowed. Yeah, yeah, I'm sorry. A cheeseburger is allowed. I thought you were going to say, could I go chicken kebabs or could I go with a steak? I was going to say no. Cheese on a hamburger is allowed.
Burger.
Yeah, 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 that's allowed.
Can I realize bacon on the burger?
Sure. Toppings however you want.
You can put a fried egg on the burger?
On the hot dog or the hamburger, you can put whatever you want on it.
You put a fried egg on that cheeseburger?
I mean, look, you're going to annoy who's ever on the grill, but sure, you could, yes, you could ask them to put an egg on there.
I think we're answering it with all these questions. Nobody's asking what you can put on the hot dog.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm going hamburger.
Just don't put ketchup on it.
I would definitely go hamburger. I like hot dogs. I know glizzies are trendy right now. The whole glizzy joke. I'm guzzling glizzies.
Mego,
what?
Sorry, do you put ketchup on your hot dog?
Yeah, why is
okay,
that?
Thank you. I don't
why
know.
Is
I
that
hate
a problem?
That
I just I
hate people who argue about hot dogs.
They talk about it like it's a steak.
Yeah.
It's we don't even know what kind of meat it is, and you're going to be like,
so opposite of a steak, right. I'll tell you that.
You're right, and they're like, you put ketchup on your hot dog? It's like, yeah, it's garbage meat.
Arcan, you know Arcan gets all fired up about this. Arcan's like, it's only mustard.
He has a flawed palate, so he can't be trusted with any toppings.
Well, thank you. I do know that. He has the, what is it called? The cilantro affliction?
Yeah, he can't eat cilantro. It makes everything taste like soap
right,
to him.
Which
so
means,
how are we supposed to trust his judgment on any topping?
Yeah, we just rule out his entire taste buds because it's all out of whack. So I wouldn't listen to him. But yeah, ketchup on a hot dog, absolutely acceptable.
Why are people precious about what they're putting on, what other people are putting on their food anyway?
I just think people, and look, I'm certainly on this side of the street. I like to lecture people when I can.
People
like a good lecture, yeah.
I think it's really rude to comment on other people's food.
People like to break out the gavel and make their own judgments.
Yeah.
We would never do that on this show.
That's not
we
something
didn't
I
cheer
do.
We lawn games
or
yesterday.
This business.
So your answer is
a hamburger. Like, so clearly, hamburger, cheeseburger. Yeah, I would go with that 1,000 times over.
Yeah.
When I was growing up, I basically only ate cheeseburgers at restaurants.
Sick brag, bro.
Wow.
Up until like 14, no matter what kind of restaurant I was in, all I would order from the menu was a cheeseburger.
Better than the chicken finger, kid.
Yeah. Well, no, it's just cheeseburger. If we went to a Mexican restaurant, I'd get like a, what's it called? A quesadilla. And
nice.
That's about it. Like anything as close to a cheeseburger as I could get, it was just cheeseburgers everywhere.
So, you know what the problem becomes with children at restaurants? So Lucas pictures like mac and cheese.
Well, you know that I love the children's menu.
That's true. You do. But Lucas will picture like mac and cheese, like it's a box of Kraft mac and cheese when he goes to a restaurant.
Sad that it has fancy cheese on it.
Oh, then we get there and it looks delicious, like this awesome looking bowl of mac and cheese. He's like, this isn't what I wanted. I'm like, that's not what they serve at restaurant. The mac and cheese you want in your head is not what they serve at restaurant.
Where are my little orange elbows?
Yeah, exactly. I think the way the question is worded, I only get one or the other. Like if I get unlimited, I might go hot dogs here because I could eat a trillion of them. Hamburgers, not so much. You get filled up much quicker. But I think if you get one or the other, hamburger / cheeseburger over a hot dog on the grill.
Have you seen any of those videos where the people are combining the hot dogs and hamburgers? Have you guys seen any of those, Billy?
No, I've seen one where like they have a
slice it long ways.
No, what they do is like they'll take like the top of a soda bottle and push the burger meat through, and it's in the shape of a hot dog. Okay. But they'll cook it and put it on a bun.
I saw one when it's disgusting.
Wait a minute, what?
So they'll shape the burger into a tube.
Yeah.
Cook it.
Exactly.
I'll go slower.
Nice.
And then they take that burger and they slowly cook it.
I've not seen that.
But yeah, so it's like a burger-shaped hot dog that they put on a hot dog.
What are you talking about?
So there's one I saw a video of where they take the hot dog and they slice it vertically and they kind of open it up like they're giving the hot dog an autopsy. And then they stuff burger meat into it. And it makes like a diamond.
Yes, go on.
And let me it doesn't look right.
Okay. Yeah, that doesn't sound. Plus, again, how who's doing that at their 4th of July cookout? Nobody. So
I'm going to.
We agree on a hamburger / cheeseburger. What's our last option there, Billy?
Would you? The goddamn Trump drop. Light your own fireworks or watch a professional fight. Watch professional fireworks.
Okay, so this is, you know, you're going AWOL. You're doing your own fireworks show or lighting off your own bottle rocket or whatever in the backyard. Or you would rather lug everything to like go watch fireworks.
I am not a role model. I love lighting off my own fireworks. I love playing with fireworks, like any type of firework. I love backyard fireworks. Going to a fireworks show is fun, but in the city, like any place that you go where it's really worthwhile, it's just a pain in the neck. Like it's just getting there so early, setting everything up, bringing all your stuff, and then the crowd dissipates. You're there for like, what, 30 minutes? And then you got to.
Have you ever watched it at the Esplanade? Have you ever done that?
I watched it from somebody's balcony.
Okay, that's way different.
Where you could see the Esplanade. I've never gone down there for the whole thing.
You could like go grab a beer out of the fridge.
Yeah.
You could go use the restroom when you needed to.
Like
you could just go back inside and sit in the air.
When I was a kid, the option was always growing up in Maryland, we could do backyard fireworks illegally, or we could go into the city and watch the Washington, D.C. fireworks at the Lincoln Memorial, which was really cool to do one time. But after that, we were like, especially when we had family visiting us.
That's how I feel about the Esplanade.
We all wanted to be in the backyard. And so it's way more fun than sitting there on a blanket for like 3 hours for something that goes on for 30 minutes.
Right. Go see the Pops on the Esplanade one time, maybe two times tops. But you don't need to keep going back and doing it. I would rather go to look, these are my options. I don't like either options. I don't really feel like sitting through fireworks. They don't do it for me. Like they're
You don't enjoy the show?
After you see one or two, I kind of get it. I'm like, oh, okay, it's a big giant firework in the sky, and okay, here's a couple of them, and boom, 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 boom. Like I get it pretty quickly
it. The best fireworks are.
What's that?
Like minor league baseball fireworks.
Yeah.
When you're in.
Oh, I thought you were describing the actual like the Bob Marley one.
Turns into a dragon.
I like I like the Bob Marley one. I do like that one. That's a good one.
I like the ones where they explode. It's white explosion and then they glitter in the sky. They fall down. Those are the nice ones. Yeah.
How long until they replace fireworks
a white
with drones?
Explosion.
Say it again.
You've seen like drone shows, right?
Yeah.
How long
until
they replace fireworks with drone shows?
They already are. You just answered your own question.
What do you mean? What do you mean, drone? The drones.
Like some places have like drone shows that are.
What
just
is
like
a drone
these,
show?
The drones simulate a firework, basically.
That sucks. What are you talking about? What are the drones doing? Are the drones exploding?
I think they're changing colors, forming things. Yeah, I think they're preventing forest fires and things. I think that's the idea. Is they're trying not to have start any.
Who's
raging
doing
fires.
This? Are they doing this locally?
Here in Massachusetts, I'm not sure about that, but I've seen.
Where are you hearing about
this? I can Google it. I'll Google it.
Yeah, Google it.
I'll find you a 4th of July drone show.
Are you kidding me? We're canceling fireworks now for drone shows? That is.
Well, it's a rich town. If you're replacing fireworks with a bunch of drones, I'd imagine it's a well-to-do town. Turp, I don't know if you could turn those around.
That's like the first sign of the apocalypse.
I would rather lug everything and go sit out for a professional fireworks show because I'm terrified of being the next Jason Pierre-Paul and not knowing
what
I'm doing.
Have you never lit off a firework?
Never. Although.
Oh, you feel powerful.
Although.
I mean, sorry. No, you don't. Nobody should play with fireworks ever.
I thought this was America. Huh? Isn't this America?
I don't trust myself. Like my drunk uncles that used to get out there and rifle off fireworks off the beach wall. Like I don't trust myself doing that.
Oh, fireworks on the beach. That's the best.
I don't trust myself. And so next thing I know, I'm the next Jason Pierre-Paul. Do I want to go to a fireworks show and lug everything out there and sit out there for hours and deal with the crowd and sit there for an hour watching the same fireworks over and over and over again? No, I do not.
Well, they just play Proud to Be an American.
But I would
everyone sways.
I would rather keep all of my appendages. And so if those are my options, that's what I would
fireworks
rather.
Fireworks are extremely dangerous.
I feel like if I set off a firework, cops would be there after one firework.
Yeah.
I'd lose a hand and the cops
would
show up.
That's what I'm saying. Well, at least they're there as first responders to help you out.
What's the penalty for fireworks now?
Well, I don't know.
Like if you're caught setting off a firework, well, how much trouble are you actually in Massachusetts?
I'm sure it's a fine. I don't think you're doing hard time. I'm sure it's a fine.
They're not taking you in?
I don't think so.
What if you set off like four fireworks at once?
Yeah, maybe you're
and
fine.
And they're up in
fine
the sky.
Fine times four.
AI overview, Gemini.
Nice.
Fireworks can range from $10 to $100 fines and confiscated. That's
$10 fine.
Possession or use.
Mm-hmm.
Same with a $100 to $1,000 if you're selling them.
But yeah, fireworks distribution, that'll get right. you.
Especially, wait, so it's only $10 if you let off a firework?
Especially across the
street. Okay, I've changed my tune. I'm gonna
fines for possessing or using fireworks can range from $10 to $100.
Fireworks are very dangerous and dogs hate them, so don't light them off. That's my PSA.
East Longmeadow, fireworks or drones this year, according to the text line. Drones replaced fireworks at a Super Bowl halftime show like 5 years ago, Mego. Not a new thing.
Says I'm so sheltered.
It did. I left that out for your...
I'm sheltered, like I don't know about big drone.
Well, yeah.
I'm naive.
In this scenario, yes.
I'm naive. I have my head in the sand when it comes to big drone. The drone's already here.
For Concord 250. I was unaware of Concord 250.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
For Concord 250, they did a drone show instead of fireworks. So there you go. It is local.
I don't like that.
I don't like it either.
I understand.
I like it better than losing fingers, but yeah.
Okay.
Although I guess a drone, you could do the same thing.
You think you can drones can't... Yeah, you think drones can't hurt you?
Good point.
You're so sheltered.
Never mind.
Trevor Bauer.
Yeah, good one. Never mind a bad actor out there taking over the drones. 617-779-7937. We got all your phone calls there. You can discuss all the Would You Rathers, Cora or Breslow, Marshan hypothetically returning, or Al Horford, hot dog or hamburger, and of course, lighting your own fireworks or watching a professional show. We'll do that, plus the latest on the Red Sox at the trade deadline. Breslow talked about it yesterday. You'll hear it next.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL Podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
You've talked about buying before the deadline. Now that it's July, you start getting questions about the deadline, right? Most sites, and I know you have your own proprietary formulas, which are probably better than anything I have access to, but you know, most places have your 15-20% chance of making the playoffs right now, today, the snapshot as we stand. Is that enough to invest in this team and go all in for this year? Do they have to show you something over the next couple of weeks to earn that? Sort of where does that decision-making process stand right now?
Well, I think all those tools, whether you're looking at ours, the things that are publicly available, they're telling us we need to win more games. And, you know, fortunately, there's a lot of games left between now and the deadline. But we came into this season with a very aggressive mindset, and we believe that we were putting together a team that was capable of making the postseason. We still believe that's the case. And so, you know, our heads right now are trying to figure out how we can improve this team and how we, you know, add in places to bolster the roster so that we can make that deep playoff run that we had anticipated.
Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. Mego in for Keefe. That was Craig Breslow last night on Nesson. I like how Tom Caron kind of teed him up for, well, you know, you guys have all these models and you have access to better info than me. And Breslow made it clear. We got to win games. I didn't like how he said there's a lot of games between now and the deadline, or even implying there's a lot of games left in the year. Like, I don't know, we're halfway there. Like, we're more than halfway home on the season. So I wouldn't necessarily look at it that way. But again, that was Breslow last night. We'll get back to the Bruins coming up at high noon. Pure Pucks with Scott McLaughlin of WEEI. We'll talk about the Bruins, their offseason, their start to free agency yesterday, and what looks like the roster now that they've made these moves. But beyond Breslow on the Nesson pregame show, Mego, I know you were a fan of the 1975 broadcast last night. You
like
that?
I didn't think I was going to like it, and I really liked it. I thought it was very cute. And I don't mean that in like a, oh, look, they tried. Like, I thought it was fun. That I like that they didn't do it the entire time. They kind of all of a sudden leaned into it. They changed the contrast on the actual video. But the star of the show was Jermai Webster.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. When he got that old school microphone with the sunglasses and the shirt that he had on. He took it to a level where I was kind of annoyed that the rest of the broadcast, all due respect, didn't lean even further in. I know Lou and Dave O'Brien had their wide ties and like a little bit of old school 70s look.
Yeah.
But I needed then when they would go to Jermai, it was so... It was so great. They needed to go back, and those guys needed to be in leisure suits. They needed to be wearing, like, hair pieces or something.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. What was Kirk Gowdy's outfit back in the day? Like, I don't know. Did they have sideline reporters then?
They should have been smoking cigarettes.
Yeah, no, that
Everybody
for sure.
Everybody should have been chain smoking on
for
the broadcast.
For sure. The broadcast needed that. Now, I actually, trust me, that's the kind of thing I want to hate going in. Like, I'm with you.
It was well done.
It was well done. And you're going to see more of it today.
So, wait, are they doing the theme again
yeah,
today?
Yeah, they're picking it up at least in the first game earlier today. If you don't have the opportunity to listen on WEEI, then yes, they're going to continue that on NESN today. It's the kind of thing I wanted to hate, but I enjoyed. I actually enjoyed watching it last night.
What some people don't know about you is that you love a theme. I mean, if they followed you during the Four Nations contest, then they got a glimpse of it.
I like a costume and a theme. I do like that. That's true.
You love playing dress up.
This is true. I do. I am a fan of playing dress up. That's
true. So it would have been tough for you to actually hate that broadcast.
No, but I'm with you. I like the filters. I like the very, like even the score bug and stuff they did.
Score bug annoyed me a little bit.
On the broadcast last night. You had one gripe, though. What should the Red Sox have worn last night?
Oh, the uniforms. Why didn't they do the throwback uniforms with the V-necks? And I think it had.
Billy, those are the ones you really like, right? Those red socks?
The white pullovers.
Yeah. Like, why? Yeah, they should have worn those. Why didn't they wear those?
I think it must have had to have been something, an MLB rule of you can't wear something that you're not selling in the pro shop, right? Because
I have no idea.
They have all their different uniforms that they cycle through, all the jerseys, and a huge part of it is the profit of introducing the special jersey. So everybody goes out and buys that jersey and has the special jersey. It seems like this is kind of like a one-off theme that NESN did. And so the rest of the MLB is not doing something like this. So they can't just bring back the throwback jerseys for one game.
Yeah, I mean, decent theory, right? Maybe it's just, hey, we're going to bring these back for one game. It's not worth it financially, which is the way this ownership group thinks about it. So sure. But that would have been really pulling out all the stops.
It would have been really fun, especially if they didn't just try to like replicate the jerseys. They found old jerseys that from the 70s that had like tobacco stains on them.
A dirty, crusty one?
Yeah, and they had to trot out in those.
Would you need the Reds to wear theirs too? Was that part of the complexity?
Yeah, absolutely. But it's when you think about
Reds should have worn like their City Connect, and then the Red Sox wear their 75
throwbacks.
They have
one of the better City Connects.
Is it? What are those?
It's like all black.
Oh, yeah, those are
like
nice.
Red trim.
And slimming.
Yeah.
Very flattering.
I'm just too young to understand, but why are we celebrating a team that lost the World Series?
Oh, don't be like that.
Well, that's fair.
It's one of the greatest World Series ever.
It's 50 years. It's a good round number, but they did lose, if you were unaware of that. Carlton Fisk waved his home run fair. That
Wait,
just forced a game seven.
We're celebrating something they lost?
Yes.
How dare they?
Correct. But no, I mean, 50-year, like, we celebrate that moment in 75 quite a bit.
Saved baseball for primetime.
Yeah, I didn't really understand that logic, by the way.
They said baseball could not be played in primetime, only football.
But then they said it was the eighth highest rated World Series, and I'm like, I don't know. That confused me, honestly, while they were explaining that last night, but whatever. I'm okay on a round number like that, celebrating a team like that, even a team that didn't win. I wouldn't do it every single year, but on a round number like 50 years, I think that's okay.
I'm just thinking about what it's going to be like when they theme 2004. I don't want to age further.
Why? Yeah. What do you think the theme would be?
I don't know. I'm trying to think. Like, will they trot out Britney Spears?
We all
something?
Wear Fred Durst red backwards hats. We all do that.
Will Double Ben polos? Affleck and Matt Damon still be with us?
Yeah, probably. Well, in 50 years from 2004?
In 2054.
I'd say yes.
Will any of us be here?
Yeah, well, I'm the rich. The
don't
rich
go that
The
way.
Rich people like those two will still be
it's
here.
It's fine. They'll don't worry, everybody. Yeah. There'll be a drone show instead of fireworks. I mean, all these people are sending me videos of drone shows. Look at this drone show from Vegas. This drone show is pretty awesome. I guess, like, at what point are you just taking a step closer to a laser light show? You might as well just sit down in an amusement park and watch a laser light show.
Jack Damon will be 84.
Oh, yeah, he'll be here.
Damon, what? Will Ben Affleck?
Well, if he keeps ripping darts. What's wrong with the laser light show?
It's just not as cool as fireworks. You need the fire fireworks.
They're pretty sweet. Look, fireworks are overrated, but I would rather go to one than light them off in the backyard.
If you're enjoying these drone shows so much, you're just bowing down to the future of our overlords.
Look,
oh, I love your drones. Oh, drones, I love you.
Oh, when there are overlords, I'll try to ingratiate myself to that side for sure. I'll be sucking up to the new overlords.
You'll be performing for them.
Yeah, exactly.
The drones.
I will jump ship real quick.
Jones Shrones.
617-779-7937. You can discuss the Red Sox if you want, the Nesson broadcast as well last night. Fireworks, of course, all of it on the table here on Jones and Keefe. And when we come back, let's get back into the Bruins. It is Pure Pucks with Scott. That one's harder to say than Pure Hoops. Got to be careful with that.
Careful.
But Pure Pucks with Scott.
Now. Watch your profanity.
Hey, y'all. Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled-up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.